Welcome to Mysteries, Myths, and Legends. I'm Taylor.
I'm Savannah.
Welcome to the show. Happy Wednesday, everybody.
Happy Wednesday and happy birthday to one of our friends.
Happy birthday, Dina.
Yes, it's Dina's birthday.
Yes, Dina has been on the show before.
I was going to say, yeah, if you've listened to all of our episodes, you'll know Dina. She hasn't been on here in a while.
No, but we do talk about her often, too.
Yeah, maybe we'll get her back on here for another feature.
True. But happy birthday. When this comes out, it is, in fact, Dina's 26th birthday. So I don't even think Dina listens, but happy birthday.
Yeah, so wish her happy birthday in, if you're listening, like, on YouTube, like, in the comments below, or on Instagram, or just on our posts, just comment that, and we'll let her know.
Do it. That's funny. Can you believe that this is our last September episode?
Already?
Mm-hmm, already. Which means that next week is an October episode.
Oh my gosh,
we're getting into Halloween. This is
spooky
Halloween
season.
I mean, I've already been living in spooky season in my mind. We did, in fact, go to Target yesterday and buy Halloween things.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So, you know, fully it's Halloween time for me.
Yes.
But
yes.
October means it's just like the whole world accepts it as Halloween time.
Yeah, true, true, true. That also means that the next few weeks are going to be super, super busy for me.
Mm-hmm.
I have places to go, people to see.
Yeah. I'm gonna have a niece.
Oh my gosh,
another one.
That's exciting.
That's crazy. That's big things coming, honestly.
Big things coming,
yeah, always, really. But before we get into the stories, I do have a little baby story of a possible ghostly experience that I had earlier.
Ooh, okay.
So I moved back home with my parents, and I work from home right now. So, you know, I work at my house, and my mom came home from work, and we were just talking in my room, and all of a sudden, I have this really fancy-looking paperweight, and it kind of looks like a crystal, so it's, like, sitting on top of my dresser with all my other crystals, and they've all been sitting there for the past month since I moved back and have not moved, have not budged whatsoever. And so we were just having a conversation in my room talking when all of a sudden we hear boom, and we look, and the paperweight, which if you don't know, paperweights are really heavy, somehow fell off and flew off the dresser into the floor, like an inch or two away from my foot.
Oh my God.
And that is just weird because first of all, it's heavy. So how did it fall? It's not sitting anywhere close to the edge. We're so confused. We were like, okay, that was weird. Even my mom was like, that was weird. And I was like, yeah, that was weird. So.
That would have freaked me out, pretty bad.
I'm sitting here looking at it, still freaked out. Like, what if it just, plops onto the floor right now?
Yes, to me, that sounds like it's, like, your grandmother.
Right, she does.
Herself known.
Yeah, she does. So I think it actually came from her. So that's even crazier. And we all know that she loves to throw things off the walls and off anything.
Right.
So maybe it was. If it was, hi. But, you know, you could just say hi. We don't have to throw things, heavy things near my foot. You know, scary. Spooky and scary. But, you know, what a good way to start off spooky season. Am I right?
You're right. Yeah, exactly. maybe. Okay. Is it a thing where in, like, spooky season, like, near October, the like, veil is thinner?
It's thinner, yeah. So maybe specifically on Halloween night, though.
True. But, like, what if it, like, starts now? And that's why she's just going to keep making herself known.
Maybe. I mean, I hope so. Keep it coming. Because I love evidence, you know?
True, true, true. Yeah.
And obviously, you guys want to hear ghost stories. Mm-hmm. Or you would not be here. So.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll have more soon. That scares me a little bit to think about, but...
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Anyways, moving along from that, go rate and review us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify, please. But I don't really have any more intro topics if you want to get into your story.
Okay. So, as we said, it is almost October, and that means that it's also almost season 2 of Our Flag Means Death.
Oh my gosh, our fave.
Which is, yeah, if you don't know, this time, was it last year?
Last year.
We watched that show and became obsessed. And season 2 comes out October 5th.
Yay!
So if you haven't seen season 1, go watch it. And then, yeah. But anyways, since that is coming up, I thought I'd find like a pirate story.
Oh, yes. You know how much we love pirates here.
Yeah. So yeah, we're bringing pirates back to the pod. So this week I have the story of Libertatia, aka Libertalia.
Oh.
So yeah, it is basically, to sum it up, it's a socialist pirate utopia.
Oh, that sounds like I might want to be there.
Right. Exactly. So, going back to the 17th century, you know, like when pirates were a thing, you know. What's it, the golden age of pirates? Is that what it is?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is.
Yeah. Yeah. So around that time, it is, we're sort of on the coast of Madagascar. And the founder of this utopia, or they also referred to it as a colony. So this colony was Captain James Mission. And him and a priest named Caracholi. I'm guessing that's just his last name, but we don't have his first name. So it's just Caracholi. They were on this crew of a French ship together. And they sort of like hatched this idea together. It came from one of the one of Caracholi's like ideas. He sort of believed that organized religion was used to control the masses. And also, like, they say that he was a priest. So I'm like, I don't really.
That seems contradicting.
Like, yeah. So I don't know. I mean, I guess we're going to call him a priest. But
or maybe he was a priest and he, you know, he just was realizing. He like, oh, right. maybe that's what it is, you know?
Yeah, so I don't know. But he had these ideas, like, sort of that religion was just, like, being used to control people. And honestly, at the time, it definitely was. But he also believed that slavery was wrong and that all men were born free under the eyes of God. So, you know, go off. So soon, they're on this ship together. And at this point, they're not pirates, right? Mm-hmm. But then soon, James Mission and many of the crew of this ship, they had, like, sort of converted to the ideas that Caracholi, like, he has been, like, telling them all of these ideas, and they're like, you're right, like, slavery is bad, and, you know, like, socialism, basically.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
So they all, like, convert to this idea, and the ship actually gets into a battle with another ship, and the original captain was killed. Ooh. And James Mission, he becomes the new captain.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. So the crew, then they were all, like, convinced to become pirates. Which basically meant that they were, like, under no nation anymore, because originally it was a French ship, but now they're all, like, we don't have a nation that we, you know, report to or anything.
Nice.
So, which is, like, common for pirates.
Yeah, like, the sea is their home.
Yes, exactly, exactly. So, yeah, they had no nation, and they were devoted to, like, a higher cause. Of, like, basically, well, I'll go on and tell you what happens, but, I don't want to spoil it yet.
Okay, fine.
but they had, like, a higher cause in mind. They're like, we, like, know what's right for this world, and we're just gonna, like, spread our message, basically.
Mm-hmm.
So, they went to the southern coast of Africa, and they actually took on merchant ships and, like, would, like, fight them and, you know, what pirates do.
Yeah, they pirated.
Yeah, they pirated the merchant ships, and they would hit slave ships as well, but they would free the slaves.
Oh, well, that's
so cool. Yes, exactly. So they take all the merchant items and then free the slaves. And they would, like, rescue any mistreated sailors as well. And they would declare the free slaves and the rescued, like, sailors. They would declare them free men and take them onto their crew if they wanted to join the crew.
Oh, that's really awesome.
I know. Like, honestly, everything I'm saying about this group, like, seems great.
Right.
You know? They also did not believe in capital punishment or torture.
Good. No, that's good. That's very rare for pirates.
Right. So they honestly didn't even do anything crazy with the captains that they came across. So, like, they would, like, raid these ships, but they wouldn't, like, torture the people or, like, do anything that crazy.
That's so good.
Yeah. And they ended up getting, like, tons and tons of treasure from these ships. And, of course, they shared it equally with everyone.
Aw. Love that.
Yeah. It's honestly, like, just, it is a pirate utopia, you know?
No, quite literally.
So, they ended up on the Comoros Islands, and they helped Queen Helena fight against her brother, who had, like, challenged the throne, I guess. See, like, this is just some other, like, side lore, right? Like, they, like, yeah, fought this, they fought battle alongside this queen to, like, try to have her keep the throne or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then some of the crew, after this, some of the crew stayed on this island, and the rest of them followed Captain James Mission and Cara Trolley.
Oh, okay.
Because they're sort of, like, a partnership now. They're, like, they've been working together this whole time. So.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, some of them went along with them. And they ended up finding their new home base in the north coast of Madagascar. And it was, like, at a bay to the north of Diego Suarez. If you know that area, which I do not.
No, I don't either.
Yeah. And they named it Libertatia, and it's also been called Libertalia, because, you know, their sort of whole mission is, like, freeing people,
mm-hmm.
So they're, like, liberty, like...
Yeah, they're, like, liberated people.
Exactly, yeah, so Libertatia. And, you know, they started living here. They even ended up, like, starting their own language.
What?
Yes, and that's they... Cool. They also started building a town and making it into their home. And they lived in, like, a communal way, like, sharing all of the work and sharing the rewards. So,
mm-hmm.
kind of, like, just, yeah. What's it called? I guess you could kind of call it, like, communism.
Yeah, basically. This is definitely sounding like communism.
Yes. So that's sort of what they're doing. And they would also hunt down merchant ships and slave ships to you know, keep freeing people just mm-hmm. like they were before. And it's also said that they flew a white flag.
Oh.
Which, I guess, I mean, I don't know if that would, like, spread the wrong message, because it's like, they are willing to fight, it seems like.
But, right. Like, they are definitely still pirates.
Yeah. Yeah. But I guess they flew a white flag. I don't know. So, and after a while, they decided that, they needed to have, like, a position of power that was elected to make it more of, like, a democracy, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Which, I mean, it seems like it was going fine with everybody just, like, contributing.
Right, like, why, we don't have to introduce democracy into this.
Right, right. But whatever, they wanted to do that, I guess. So they started doing that, but then James Mission, he ended up leaving, but he was, like, gonna come back.
Mm-hmm.
But he, like, left for a little bit. And unfortunately, while he was gone, this colony, it was attacked.
Oh, no.
Yeah. They were attacked, and this is where it gets sad. Caracciolo, he was killed.
No, so now they lost both of their leaders?
Yeah, kind of. So he was killed along with some others, and the colony sort of just disappeared.
Oh no, that's not what I was expecting you to say.
I know, it's really sad. It's a sad ending. And because Caracciolo, like, died, James Mission, he never went back. He's like, he's gone. Like, why would I go back, you know?
I mean, yeah, he's right, but that's sad.
It is. It's really depressing. So I tell you this whole story, right?
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm going to ask you, was this story real?
If you just bamboozled me into that whole entire story. Well, okay, for one, the only reason I'm going to say I don't think it's real is because I've never heard of this before. And yeah, I would have to say I have a lot of knowledge on pirates.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Because in North Carolina, we do have a pirate class. But
yeah, I know. And I'm, like, so jealous of that because I didn't get the pirate class.
Well, now we're doing our own pirate class.
True.
Called Mysteries, Myths, and Legends, Our Pirate Stories.
True. Okay, so this whole story of Libertatia, it was described in a book, which was the second edition of A General History of the Robberies and Murders of the Most Notorious Pirates.
Oh, wow.
Which was written by Captain Charles Johnson and published in 1726. So yeah, it's in a book. And many scholars believe that Johnson was actually a pseudonym for the writer and political activist, Daniel Defoe.
Oh.
Which, you know, if he's a political activist, I can see how he wrote this story, like...
Yeah, definitely.
Sort of, yeah. To, you know, have his political views out there.
Mm-hmm.
But many of the stories in this book, because, like, this isn't the only story in this book, right? Many of the stories in this book were based in truth. So there's a chance that this place did exist, like, this group of people... did exist, or at least part of it did, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And pirates definitely spent time down there in the Comoros Islands and near Madagascar, and could have made an area over there their home base. And Madagascar was actually long considered a free man's paradise.
Oh, what? No way.
So, yeah, that could definitely be part of it.
Definitely.
And their ideals were not that outlandish for pirates of the time. Because, like, a lot of pirates believed in these same type of things. You know, like, that
definitely.
People, like, shouldn't, that slaves shouldn't exist. And
yeah,
that
people should just be free to do whatever
yeah,
they want.
Yeah, that people should be free and that work should be shared and, you know. Community living and stuff like that. So yeah, like, honestly, like, if this didn't exist exactly, and like these people, like Captain Mission and Cara Chole, if they, these people didn't exist, then like at least their ideas did.
Yeah.
So like, yeah. So yeah, but I honestly love this whole idea of a pirate utopia, and
I love it.
If I really thought about it, like living on a ship and being at sea for that long and stuff, I would probably actually hate it. But definitely. If I really think about, if I like vaguely think about it, I'm like, ooh, I do kind of want to be a pirate like this.
No, for sure. You know I would love to be a pirate. But I get really seasick, so that's a problem.
Me too. Me too. So like I would hate it, but but at the same time, it could be fun.
Exactly. Plus, if you just have some medicine, you'll be okay. Like in today's day medicine, but back then pirate.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. So.
I love that.
So yeah, that's Libertalia, and I want to visit, but they don't exist anymore.
So. Did it ever exist is the question. No, I do actually think that it's real. You know,
I think it
existed.
Like
whether or not those people exist, like I think the idea is definitely real.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. I love that story. I love a good pirate. Oh, see, that just made me want to go watch Our Flag Means Death now.
I know.
Like, so bad. Oh, if you haven't seen that show, please go watch it, because it's just so funny. So funny.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I guess, moving along to my story this week, I have for you the legend of Pugin's Porch.
Oh, okay.
So, I'm taking us to Charleston, South Carolina this week to a restaurant that is called Pugin's Porch. So I actually had the opportunity to go to this restaurant a couple weeks ago. And before I say anything else, I must say the food is big bussin', guys. This place.
Really?
Yeah. We went for brunch and we got like almost every single thing on the brunch menu because there was a lot of us that went. And it was so good. It's like one of the top rated places in Charleston. And I definitely would agree with that statement. So before I even tell you anything else, definitely go to Pugin's Porch because the food is amazing. But also one thing you might need to know before you go is that it's very haunted. Da-da-da. So let's get on into it. Going back to the beginning, the restaurant opened up in 1976. So that's honestly been open for a long time because it's still open today. So since then, it's been considered one of the top restaurants in Charleston, and it's very well known by a lot of celebrities. Some of the most famous ones that I saw were Jim Carrey and Obama. And when I say I saw them, they have like pictures of them and like a menu with their signatures on all over the wall.
Oh my God.
Like all throughout the house. Jim Carrey, Obama, so many people. Like anybody you can think of, they've been there to eat.
Wow. Yeah. That's crazy.
It really is crazy. It really is. Because I was just like waiting for my table and I was like, oh, that's Jim Carrey. Oh, interesting. This is a lot of people that I know on this wall. So that's cool. So you may be asking, why is it called Pugin's Porch? You know?
Yeah.
Because that's a little bit of a weird name. So we're going to have to go a little bit further back in history to the time before this building was a restaurant. So before, all the delicious food they have today, the building was actually a home. So literally you have to imagine that this restaurant is a house in the middle of a neighborhood with all other houses in downtown Charleston. It's really wild. It does not look like a restaurant whatsoever.
Do they even have, like, parking?
Oh, no.
That's what I would be thinking
about. No. Of course not. There's no parking anywhere in Charleston.
Yeah, okay.
So you just have to, like, park in a parking deck and walk everywhere.
Okay, so the house, like, is it you walk inside and the walls are all knocked down so it's an open space?
Oh, no. It looks like a regular house in there.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. It's first of all, it's a really big house. I should have looked up the square footage, but it's very big. Two floors, maybe three. Definitely two, though. And it looks like a regular house. Like, there's no doors on the rooms, but all the rooms are just different dining rooms. And there's, like, two stairwells that go upstairs. I ate upstairs. And, yeah, it just looks like a house that was literally turned into a restaurant. And it's very old.
Cool.
A little creepy looking. So, yeah, you should actually Google it. It's bright yellow on the outside. So, yeah, it's pretty cute.
Okay, yeah, I'm gonna look at it.
Yeah, do it. So, anyways, going back to why it's called Pugin's Porch. So, this is before it was a restaurant, when it was the house. The home was first originally built in 1891. And it changed owners, like, many times over the years between 1891 and 1976 when it became Pugin's Porch. And the last known owners decided to sell the house and move, you know, wherever, somewhere else. But unfortunately, they had to leave their dog behind because it wasn't technically their dog. It was technically the neighborhood dog. No, he didn't really have an owner, but he loved to stay on these people's porch.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
And so it kind of just, like, became their family dog, even though he wasn't theirs. You know what I'm saying? So mm-hmm. It breaks my heart that they couldn't take him.
I do want to interrupt for a second because I looked up a picture of this house, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I want to do a throwback to last episode, or I think it was last episode. Maybe it was 2 weeks ago. I don't know. When I talked about superstitions.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was 2 weeks ago. Yes, the roof or the ceiling of the porch is blue. Is the
I love the that.
Haint blue color.
I love that. See, we had did that after I went, so I couldn't remember if it was haint blue. But I love
yes,
that.
Yes, it is. So yeah, just wanted magical. To mention that.
I was really curious because I mean, especially with that place being so haunted, kind of has to be blue.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for the protection, we don't need any more spirits than there already are in this house. So, it does make sense that they painted it like that. But, anyways, so that dog, as you can imagine, was named Pugin, the little neighborhood dog.
Mm-hmm.
So, once the building was bought and turned into the restaurant, he stayed there. And he was literally the guardian of the place. He watched over the entire renovation process, turning it into a restaurant. And when they opened the doors to the public, he would greet everybody, like, very warmly. He was a very people person dog, you know? It was very cute. The entire staff was in love with him, and he literally became, like, the dinner and the show, because everybody who was eating there just wanted to hang out with Pugin.
Oh, that's so sweet.
It's so cute. Like, I go to restaurants all the time, and they have, like, little cats. I love to play with the little cats.
Yes.
But I can't imagine a restaurant dog.
I know.
So cute. But, unfortunately, Pugin did die a natural death in 1979. And so after he died, they dedicated the whole entire building to him. And so now it's known as his monument, which is also adorable. But let me tell you what. No one, absolutely no one, believes that Pugin's spirit is really gone. Mm-hmm. He loved the house so much, obviously. And so everybody seems to believe that his spirit still lives there. People claim to feel a dog brush up against their legs while they're eating, but no dog is around. It's Pugin. People claim to hear a dog walking around, like, on the wood floors of the house. Like, it sounds like a little, you know, a little pitter-patter of his little nails clicking, but no dogs are around. So who is it? It's Pugin. And people have also even claimed to see Pugin, who was a little white-haired, little scruffy, you know, the little dogs, little white dogs. So, yeah, people say they see a little white dog, but no white dog is there. So, it's Pugin.
I love that.
I know. I just think ghost dogs are just so sweet. We've talked about a couple before, and that is sad, but it's so sweet. Like, I just loved it so much, they had to stay.
I know.
I love it. But the craziest part is that Pugin is not the only ghost that lives inside of Pugin's porch today. Mm-mm. There is one more definite ghost and then another possible ghost. So the most common ghost other than Pugin is the ghost of a girl named Zoe. Dating back to the early 1900s, a woman named Zoe Saint Amanda lived at 72 Queen Street, which is the address of Pugin's porch. And so Zoe lived with her sister Elizabeth in the house. And so Zoe was actually a local school teacher in the town. And she claimed that she had just completely given up on finding her true love. Like, aww. She was just like, it's not in the cards for me, so I'm just going to live with my sister for the rest of my life.
Okay.
And most people in the town, because of this, kind of thought she was nothing more than, like, a spinster and people would judge her on the clothes that she would wear. And it just kind of seems like the whole town just bullied her for no reason. Just because she didn't have a man. Which
is
not surprising, but horrible, you know?
Yeah.
So annoying.
So her sister was married, but she wasn't?
No, I don't think her sister was either. But they just, were really having it out for Zoe.
Hmm. Okay. Yeah.
And I said people made fun of the clothes that she wore. And so she would wear long black dresses and thinly framed glasses. I'm like, she sounds cool to me.
Yeah.
Like, that's kind of what I wear, honestly. But, yeah. So Zoe and Elizabeth, the sister squad, they were very close. And they grew to only love each other more and kind of only hung out with each other. And eventually, this lifestyle kind of led to them being hermits for a little while.
Oh.
And would only keep to themselves for decades.
Oh, no, that's not good. Decades?
Decades.
That's really bad.
Yeah. And so, sadly, in 1945, Elizabeth died. And that meant that Zoe's only friend in the whole world, pretty much, was gone. And that made her become even more withdrawn and depressed, and her mental health was absolutely spiraling.
Mm-hmm.
And so late one night, Zoe left her house and started walking down the street, screaming out her sister's name, looking for her. You know, I guess she thought she was missing. I don't know. Her mental health, completely, it was gone. Mm-hmm. And I guess she just didn't want to accept the fact that her sister was gone, so she was like, oh, she had to run away.
Aw, that's so sad.
It is really sad. So she's just out on the streets screaming, looking for her sister. Obviously, neighbors heard her and came out and took her to the nearest hospital, because what else are they going to do?
Mm-hmm.
And really, really, unfortunately, she spent the rest of her life in the hospital and died there and was buried at a really close by cemetery to Pookin's porch.
That's really sad.
I know. She, literally died of, a broken heart from her
sister. Right. Yeah, that's what it sounds like.
It's really sad. Really sad. But it is widely believed that Zoe's spirit still haunts the home that is today Pookin's porch. People say that she is still searching for her sister, which is really heartbreaking. And so one thing that people say, though, is that they find it strange that somebody who was a complete, hermit while living, in life, would be staying at somewhere that's, extremely crowded all the time. And the answer that they kind of give for that is that, the love that she has for finding her sister, outweighs however much she didn't like other people.
Mm-hmm.
Which I'm like, ugh, the sister love is giving Frozen. It's so cute.
Yes. Oh my gosh, yes, definitely Frozen. That's,
right. It's just so sad, though.
Yeah.
But anyways, staff members and guests both have claimed to see her ghost wandering around the house. So most people actually who see her, they don't realize at first that they are seeing a ghost. They think it's just a woman, you know? Because that place, while it is a house, very close quarters, very tight, honestly, because it is, in fact, a house. And it's always packed. Reservations need to be made days and days in advance to eat there. That's how busy and packed this place is. So, you know, that people, you see a woman in a long black dress and glasses, you're like, oh, it's just another customer. Until you take a walk around the house and you're looking at all the pictures and stuff, and there's not only the celebrity signatures on the walls, but there's also pictures of everybody who's lived in the house, Pookin, all this stuff. So people will see her in real life standing in the house and then go look at the pictures and be like, oh my God, that's who I saw earlier standing in the diner or in the hallway or wherever. So that's crazy.
If that happened to me, I would freak out and be like, oh my God, I saw that woman right over there.
My mind if that happened to me. Oh, can you imagine? Oh, goodness. Mm-mm. So not only have people seen her while being in the restaurant, but reports have came in from the hotel that is across the street from Pookin's porch. Of people calling who are absolutely completely unaware of the house's history and it being haunted at all. And they claim to see a woman in a long black dress standing in the top floor window. And so these people, as what? I said, they don't know about Zoe. They don't know anything spooky. And they're actually calling because most times that this happens, the restaurant is closed and nobody seems to be there. So people who are staying at the hotel, they think that it's a woman like who got locked in the building after it closed.
Oh my god.
And they're like, oh, they call the police. They're like, hey, there's somebody like in Pugin's porch and they're stuck in there. So the police get called out. They go and absolutely nobody's in the house because it was Zoe, the ghost.
Oh my gosh.
Ooh, that just sent chills down my spine.
Yeah,
I just feel like that's so much more real. Like, not only are you seeing it in the house, but also across the street when you probably don't know what's going on at all. Like,
exactly.
Ooh, creepy.
Oh my gosh. That's so creepy. And I feel like ghosts that, you know, look like a real person are more real.
Definitely.
You know what I mean? Like, definitely. Stories where they look like a real person.
Exactly. I think you sent me a TikTok, actually, a couple days ago, where we were talking about how, like, the typical ghost image of, like, ghost floating, like, without legs, like, they're not actually walking, kind of was developed when cameras and, like, movies came out.
Yeah, like, the image of them being, like, transparent. Yeah.
Yeah. So I feel like stories where they're like, oh, it looked like a regular person, that's way more believable, because that's probably could be a real ghost, you know? Spooky. So, anyways, the owner of Pugin's Porch, Bobby Ball, she has had her own experiences with Zoe. So there was this one specific night, she was closing up the restaurant for the evening, and Bobby was like trying to set the alarm when she was startled all of a sudden because one of the wooden stools suddenly knocked over to the ground, and she was the only person in there. Like I said, she was about to set the alarm to leave, and all of a sudden this stool falls over, slams on the ground, and then the door opened, and then, like, just imagine the door slowly creeping open and then violently, loudly slamming closed. So that happened.
I hate that.
Yeah. Needless to say, she ran out of there.
Oh god. Yeah.
Yeah, horrifying. And so not only has Bobby experienced stuff, other like chefs who are even there, like when there are no customers, like daytime morning chefs preparing the food. I didn't get his name, but one of like the main chefs, he said that he was there one morning. It was still early. Nobody was there except for him. And he was making some coffee and he had just poured himself a hot cup of it when he heard a knock at the back door, and it was a delivery from like the food people, like, they're like, here's some food or whatever. So the chef put his coffee down on his stool and then went to the back to let the guy in and get the delivery. And when he came back to grab his coffee, the cup was gone. Mysteriously gone.
And they stole his coffee.
Yeah, literally. Literally. He was like, you know, it is early in the morning. Maybe I'm still half asleep. Maybe I put it somewhere else. Maybe I carried it back with me. You know, I would do that. But yeah, he actually didn't find his coffee. So he was like, you know, maybe I just put it somewhere and I don't remember where it is. You know? Typical, whatever. So he just decided to make another cup. He was like, whatever.
Okay.
Don't have time to look for it. I'll just make another one. And so he made it, went about his day, drank it. And, you know, he was just doing whatever he needed to do for his job. A little bit later, he comes back into the kitchen where his stool is. And his original cup was there because he had the other cup in his hand. So his original cup reappeared in the same spot that he had first put it down. But the difference was that cup was completely empty of coffee.
I knew you were going to say that. So, like, they drank the coffee.
And oh, not only did they drink the coffee, but there was also a lipstick mark on the cup.
No, not a lipstick
mark. So, you know, the chef was like, I guess Zoe's just a fan of my coffee. You know, she likes the way I make it.
Yeah.
They take it as a joke because she's not evil at all. She's just, you know, just chilling, looking for her sister, drinking some coffee, you know?
Yeah.
Living her life.
Oh my gosh.
It's so funny. So another story that they say goes with Zoe is a waitress was cleaning up after her shift, and she just had this feeling that something was behind her. She couldn't shake it. She was like, somebody is behind me. She kept turning around, but nobody was there. But she just, like, could not shake the feeling. She went to other rooms, still felt like she was being watched and that somebody was right behind her. So she continues cleaning, and she passes the bathroom and happens to look into a mirror and was immediately startled because not only did she see her in the mirror, like her own self, but she also saw an old woman wearing thin glasses standing behind her in the mirror.
Oh my God.
But when she turned around, nobody was there.
I'm like, freak out.
That sounds like a horror movie to me. Oh my goodness.
Yes. Oh my gosh. I would be just constantly just on edge.
No.
If there's somebody behind you, like, oh my God.
Oh, I don't like that one at all. Because like, that's like the worst part of horror movies for me, when they look into the mirror and something's behind them, but then it's not actually there.
Yes.
Ooh, can you imagine working here? I cannot.
I would have quit. I would have quit.
Same. That would have been my last day. Absolutely.
Right.
That's funny. Okay, so one more little story from Zoe. This is from another waitress who worked there. And so she was a part-time waitress, and she was also the pastry chef. And basically, this place is known for its biscuits and gravy. That's like one of their popular items. And so they have to come in like really early, and sometimes even the night before, to like pre-make the biscuits so they have enough for the next day and stuff.
Okay.
So, you know, she was just baking her little biscuits, listening to the radio, typical, when she was the only person there. She was just there to get her stuff situated for the next day and then leave. And so she's just chilling, making biscuits, listening to the radio, when she hears this ruckus upstairs. And it was so loud, she couldn't determine what it was, but it was so loud that it was like louder than her radio. And she was okay, I need to go see what's going on. But she was scared, obviously. But she was like, got to go up there anyway, because it could be, I mean, Charleston is crazy. You know, people be walking the streets at all hours of the day. It could be a random person. But I don't think that's what she was thinking, because she already knew the stories of this place, you know?
Yes,
but
like,
with all the bravery, I guess, she had in her, she went up to the top floor, and it says that she took a very deep breath, because obviously, and she searched upstairs, all of it. Nobody was up there. Nothing could be found that could have been making that noise. Nothing was on the floor. Nothing was out of place at all. So literally, what was that noise, you know? But she couldn't find what it was, so she went back down to the kitchen and continued, you know, making her business and getting her job done. And after a little bit of time had passed, when nothing else had been happening, she was like, okay, I'll turn the radio back on. Maybe it was something on the radio, you know, I don't know. Maybe I'm crazy. But after only a few songs being on the radio, one of her favorite songs came on. And so she began singing out loud, you know, that's what I would do. I would have been singing the whole time. So she's just singing her song, and all of a sudden she hears another voice singing with her.
Oh, and no.
It's not coming from the radio. Mm-mm. Oh God, the shivers that just went down my spine. So she turned around expecting to find one of her coworkers, you know, possibly playing a trick on her. Like, that's honestly a pretty good trick. I would pull that on somebody, but nobody was there. The alarm had been set and it was not going off, so nobody had came in from outside. She already checked the upstairs. Nobody was up there. And she checked it again. Nobody else was there. It was just her.
I hate all of this.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, she told the other staff members, like, when she showed up for her next shift, and they were like, oh yeah, that's Zoe. She loves to sing. And I'm like, oh no. I mean, like, that's so sweet, because she's really not mean, but, like, that is horrifying. And I have actually experienced a ghost singing when I was in a house one time, and that was the scariest thing I've ever experienced, I would say.
Really?
Oh, yes. My gosh. We were, I think I talked about it. It was in the Bellamy Mansion. I don't know what episode that was. And,
oh, yes, yeah. I do remember that.
Oh, it was horrifying. But I was with a group of people, so I didn't feel that unsafe. I can't imagine if that happened to me and I was the only person in the building. Like, I would have been gone. The biscuits would have just had to be made the next day.
Or just not at all.
Yep. Because I'm never making no more biscuits there. Nope. Absolutely not. So yeah, that's the story of Zoe's little ghost. You know, she's very busy, I would say. And so some sources that I found mention a ghost of a man, but honestly, other than just seeing a man, that's kind of the only thing I could find. Couldn't really find out who he even was. So is that one even true? I don't know. But there's definitely Pugin and definitely Zoe there. And that's known for a fact. So now getting to my personal experience here. Like I said, I went for brunch around 1 p.m. a couple weekends ago. And it was so busy. I cannot even begin to describe to you how busy it was. When we sat down, we ate upstairs in the back room, like the back main room. And it was so loud in there from how many people were in there that we couldn't even hear each other talk at the same table.
Oh.
Yeah. Like it was that busy. It was really, really crazy.
I mean, it seems like a really popular place.
And it is.
It's like good food and it's kind of cool because it's a house and it's haunted. So it's got a lot going for it.
It definitely does. It definitely does. And it's funny because like the first couple times I went to Charleston, I literally could not get a reservation here. Because that's how busy it was.
Oh, wow.
So, like, third time's a charm for me, I guess. But
yeah.
Yeah. The house was so old that you could just, like, feel how old it was. And it's kind of the same. Like, all of Charleston just feels really old. But very, I don't know. The vibes are just, like, you're stepping back in time when you walk in there. But I was, like, so overstimulated because of how many people there were and how loud it was that the energy felt insane, but I think it felt insane just because of how overstimulating it was. So, couldn't really feel if it felt heavy. Dina went, and she said that it felt weird in there. So, I don't know what was going on, if it was just anxiety, but that was a little weird. But unfortunately, I did not see or experience any ghostly things, and I was really sad about that.
Well, it's probably because there's so much going on.
That's what I was going to say.
It's so crowded. Yeah,
mm-hmm. Yeah, I did end up going to the bathroom on the first and second floor because I just wanted to see what they look like and see, you know. I was like, Pugin, Zoe, because I did know about the story before I went. And yeah, nothing happened, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. But it was really some of the best food I ever had in my life. So definitely recommend. But yeah. That is the legend of Pugin's Porch.
Wow. Mm. I'm jealous. I want to go.
I know.
We should go again.
I would definitely go again. Oh, and one other funny thing. The staff that was working, they have these shirts and it's like biscuits and gravy, shrimp and grits, something and something, and ghost. That's like their merch.
Oh, yes. Okay, good.
Which I love.
They're like all about the ghosts.
Yes, they are. Because that's what a lot of people come there for, honestly. Because, I mean, the whole restaurant is named after a ghost dog. I feel like that's so unique, you know?
Yeah, honestly. Yeah,
and even awesome. If you don't even believe in ghosts, when you look up the place, like, they have the story on their website. So, like, it's almost impossible for you to not know the story. Mm-hmm. At least of Pugin, maybe not of Zoe. But, yeah, absolutely crazy. Mm-hmm. Spooky Magooks.
That's so awesome.
Right? I kind of would want to work there if I lived in Charleston, just so I could see if anything would happen to me.
I guess, yeah.
But one thing happens to me and I'm out.
Right. I was going to say, I keep saying that I would quit immediately and I probably would. But like, I think that's probably like the main way you can get experiences is working there because like you said, like it's so busy all the time. The ghosts aren't going to come out when there's people around.
Exactly. Like you need to be there after hours cleaning up. And they probably get more comfortable with you, like, if they're seeing you every single day.
Mm-hmm. You know? Or, on another note, like, maybe the ghosts, like, are out when there's a bunch of people, but it's harder to tell because there's just so much going on.
That's a really good point.
You know?
And also, I, to be fair, saw a lot of people there, and I don't know if I saw Zoe.
See?
Because I don't even know if I was looking at people's eyes. You know, that's how, it was very overstimulating when I went.
Yeah. But,
it was crazy. So yeah, definitely go look at our Instagram to see pictures from this week. Pugin will be featured, of course.
Yes, and my story, I don't know.
We'll post a picture of a pirate.
Yeah, some pirates.
And just a ship.
Actually, there might be pictures from the book that this story is from.
Oh, yeah, true. I didn't even think about that.
Yeah. So yeah. I do want to see, okay, this whole, like, past few minutes, I've heard a lawnmower going in the background, and I just really wanted to apologize if anybody can hear that, so.
It's okay, well, for me personally, I didn't hear it, but
Okay, yeah. Perfect. So, forget I said anything, yeah, but I just wanted to keep it for the end for anybody who's listening at the end.
Exactly. Shout out to everybody who listens to the end of the episodes. Y'all are the best. But definitely go rate and review us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. But other than that, I don't really have anything else for you guys this week. What about you, Savannah?
That wraps it up.
Okay, well, happy birthday, Dina. And I guess we will see you guys next week.
Okay, cue the music.